this is after Christ's resurrection, and on the day of his resurrection. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I say to you, it's a great blessing today to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you're able to say that with me this morning and believe it in your heart, it's because there's been a work of grace that's taken place in you. The Lord has given you the wonderful gift of faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You've been blessed by the Spirit of Almighty God to be brought out of a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. You didn't believe in order to get this life. You didn't do something in order to become a little child of God. But you were acted upon by the grace and the mercy of God, and a gift was given unto you, a gift of faith, which allows you and enables you to be able to believe and embrace the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We see God's little children here, his disciples even, not so much at times in a state of belief, but in a state of unbelief. And I think that's a battle that we all battle in our lives, this battle against that sin which does so easily beset us, that sin of unbelief. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Thomas, as he said, be not faithless, but believing. How often can I feel that word to be applied to me, that I need to be not faithless, but believing, that I need to be believing. There's an idea and a thought in this world that either you are believing and a little child of God, or you are an unbeliever and not a little child of God, and you're believing or you're not believing makes you one or the other. Here in this very passage, we have clear evidence that God's little children can be, in danger of falling into the sin of unbelief, that we can fall in and out of belief, that we can be faithful and then walk in unbelief, even though we, in our hearts, know the Lord and in our and have been moved by the Lord, there can be times that we become those that fall into unbelief. I know from the scripture that we're taught over in the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 11, as we turn there, Hebrews chapter 12, He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We think about our lives and how the Lord has just surrounded us. We're not believing in Him and trusting in Him without reason. We have been so blessed of the Lord and been given faith and enabled to believe and trust in Him. And as we look at our lives, how many wonderful times has the Lord delivered us time and time again? How many times in times past when we weren't even looking to Him and leaning upon Him, has God come in and intervened where if we'd have gotten what we justly had deserved and the outcome had been just what we had earned and merited, how bad would things have been? But God has seen fit to intervene and by His grace has delivered us over and over again. And then we see our life filled with those dear saints, that cloud of witnesses that are around us, of men that have stood faithful and believed and trusted in the Lord. And we've seen the Lord keep them and the Lord has taken care of them. We're given every reason to believe this morning. You and I ought to be believers. Don't y'all agree with that? That we are, as we come together and meet today, we ought to certainly believe that there's a God in heaven who created the heavens and the earth. We ought to certainly believe that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed the Son of God, and that which the Bible says that He did, that He did that. That He accomplished that which the Father gave Him to do, that He finished the work of redemption at Calvary, and He paid the price. And our peace and our rest comes in trusting and leaning and depending upon Him. He says, we're compassed or surrounded about with such a great cloud of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight. There are a lot of things that can hinder us from trusting and leaning upon the Lord today. We can look at our own weakness and think, well, I'm just not going to be able to make it. And it's true. If it was just us having to make it, we wouldn't make it. If it was just us that and our ability that would hold us and sustain us and keep us, we would fall away and fall away quickly. We see that with the disciples here. Here were those that had walked with Him, that had stood at the grave of Lazarus and seen Lazarus come forth, that had seen the resurrection of Lazarus from a state of death, and had seen and had heard the words of the Son of God that He must go to Jerusalem and He must suffer and that He must die, but on the third day that He would rise again. And here that day had come, and the majority, the most of them, for the most of the time, were in unbelief. Now the good news is that unbelief didn't hinder them from being God's children. It didn't keep them from being children of God. We don't have the disciples going in and out of salvation here, eternally speaking. Their salvation wasn't in question when they were in the sin of unbelief. But that nonetheless doesn't negate the responsibility for us to be believers. We ought to be believing. Brethren, I'll tell you, if the Lord hadn't worked the work of grace in us, we can't believe. Then we need His strength every day to be faithful and to be trusting and leaning upon Him. It says Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. And there they were. And you would have thought, well, the Lord's resurrected. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to fear. And yet when we see them on this day, at the same day at evening, and two of them had been walking with Him on the road to Emmaus, and they talked with Him and heard Him open up the scriptures from both the law and the prophets and testified all the things that the Old Testament said about Him. They had come to these disciples that had walked with Him and seen all those miracles. You think if anybody could be faithful all the time, it would have been them. But I'm telling you, they had gotten into a state where here they were afraid for the most part, surely in a mixture of unbelief. Can you understand that mixture of unbelief and belief? Oh, I think about what the scripture says, Lord, I believe, where the one said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. That seemed to be my battle so much in my life. I'm going along and I'm believing and I'm trusting in the Lord, but then it seems like unbelief and doubt and fear is mixed with all that I do. And as a matter of fact, as long as we're in this world, we're going to fight this fight. We're going to battle this battle. That's why he said for us to lay aside every weight. May you and I lay aside anything today that hinders us from embracing the truth of what our Lord has done for us and the truth of his word and what he has told us, that we might be faithful as the Lord's children to take up our cross and follow him in whatever capacity he leads us to walk in. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I do believe with all my heart that sin that does so easily beset us is that sin of unbelief, where we can fall into a place where I start questioning. It's so easy to do. You know, when it comes to heaven, when it comes to getting home to glory, I know there's no hope for me and there's no hope for you. But in what Jesus did for me, we understand that this morning. It's not in what I did for him. It's not in my acceptance of him. It's not in my trusting in him. It's not in my leaning upon him. But it's in what he did for me, irregardless. And that's true here of Thomas, and it's true of the disciples. They were as eternally secure as they could ever be right while they were here, closed up in that room, scared to death. That the one, and you know, the word had gone out that from the soldiers, they had been hired to say this, that his disciples had come and taken him away. The disciples knew that was not the truth, but yet they were in unbelief that truly maybe had he really risen, had we really seen him. As a matter of fact, it says when Mary had come over in Luke chapter 24 and verse 11, when Mary had come and spoken unto the apostles and the other women who had seen the Lord, when they came, it says their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, brethren, let us not be unbelieving today. Let us be believing. Let us trust and lean upon him. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. That is, we're waiting on the Lord. This is a race we're running every day. And we get up in the morning. And, you know, like today, 9/11, I can't think what in the world happened. 21 years has passed since 9/11. It seems just as fresh in my mind, in a sense, as it was yesterday. And then I think of everything that's taken place in my life since that time. The Lord has given me every reason to trust him this morning. He's been with me through the storms and through the mountaintops and the valleys. And there's been many mountaintops, but there's been some valleys too. There's been some dark places. And as I look over this congregation, I know that's true with you. But can we not say with the hymn writer, the Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise his name. I want to glorify his name. I want to lift up my voice in adoration to him. Brethren, let us not be numbered among those as the disciples were on this occasion. They were there and they were gathered, but they were gathered in fear. And you would think, well, if they're gathered in fear, the Lord would just leave them alone. But I'm telling you, no, he did not. He came to them where they were, and he supplied unto them just what they needed. Aren't you glad we got a God who doesn't just leave us when we get weak and afraid, but he comes and he supplies what we need. He may even send you a preacher. He may even supply just what you need through the preaching of the gospel. Just to share with you the testimony of a Thomas. I think of Brother Thomas, who at some time stood so faithful. I remember when he was going to the tomb to raise Lazarus. It was Thomas who said, let us go and die. He was mixed up, but he was faithful. He said, let us go and die with him. I'm willing to go, even if it means my death. He didn't have much understanding, but he knew, I'm willing to die. If it's time for us to die, let us die with him. And here Thomas was, though, not even with them on this occasion. It says, in the same day of the evening before being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, there came Jesus. You know, the doors being shut didn't stop Jesus. I'm so thankful. You can't stop our Lord. He didn't have any problem coming into that room. They had locked it, no doubt. They double-checked the doors. Here at night, sometimes Sharon said, did you lock the basement door? And sometimes I'll say, well, I did, but it won't get locked. And maybe I thought I did, but it's got locked. And she'll, you know, she don't trust me anymore. She goes down and double checks all the locks. I guarantee you those locks have been checked by those disciples many times, don't you? Because they were scared. They were afraid. They ought to have been rejoicing at the good news that had been brought to them by the two that walked with the Lord on the road to Emmaus. They ought to have been rejoicing by the good news that had been brought to Mary. You and I today, this morning, have been brought some good news, haven't we? Have you heard the news? Our Savior's risen again. Our Savior lives. Our Savior is seated on the right hand of the Father. Our Savior is making intercession for us. Our Savior came and reconciled us unto God. He paid the price that was necessary that one day you and I might be with Him in heaven in immortal glory. Our Savior is with us now, and where two or three, as we have gathered in His name this morning, are gathered in His name, He's one in our midst. He is here, and yet sometimes we're just like these disciples. We've locked the door and tried to protect ourselves from this old world. You know how successful we are with that? Not very successful at all. Jesus didn't leave us alone. He came right in that locked room. Didn't have any trouble. Some said, did He unlock the doors and walk in? Or did He come right through the wall? I say He could have done either one. Don't you? Either way, He appeared to them. Jesus stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And oh, if I could just say that to you this morning. Let not your heart be troubled, John 14 says. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And peace be unto you. How could the God of heaven say unto me a sinner and to you a sinner, peace be unto me. If I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, then the righteous judgment of God belongs to me, and I should be afraid of Him. But oh, I don't need to be, because Jesus said, peace be unto you. You know why He said that? It's because He brought that peace about. He had reconciled us unto Himself. He had paid the price that was necessary that you and I might have peace today, and that we might not be needing to be afraid of Him. He's come as the friend of sinners. He's come not to judge us, but He came not to condemn us, but He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And oh, He provided it for us today, dear ones. You, wherever you are in the storm, wherever you are in the trouble, whatever your problem is, know this. What a friend we have in Jesus. The one who comes where we are and He gives us peace. He says, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them the reason how that they might have peace. He showed unto them His hands and His side. You can see that nail-pierced hands that showed the dear child, I love you so much that I died for you. I allowed men to drive nails in my hands. They pierced my hands, Psalm 22 says, and they pierced my feet. The reason that He was pierced is because our sins were placed upon Him and a price had to be paid. And there at Calvary, He removed our sins from us. We were washed in His own blood. And today we have a friend in Jesus. Not because we did something, but because He did something. What He did was a finished work at Calvary. And Jesus stood in the midst and He saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. There He stood with His hands pierced and His feet pierced and His side where the spear had gone into His side, showing evidence that I am the one that hung on that cross, but I'm not hanging on that cross anymore. I'm not there anymore. Listen, we don't have a dead Savior. We have a risen Savior. We don't have a dying Savior. We have a living Savior. We don't have a Savior who used to be our Savior, but now is gone. But He is seated on the right hand of our Father who is in heaven. He's making intercession for us, and He's coming again, and He's going to receive us to Himself. And one day we're going to be with Him where He is, and all of our trouble will be over. But until that time, right there in your home and right here in my home, He is that friend that is, and you can't lock the doors to keep Him out. Nor should we ever want to. But sometimes in our efforts to keep the old world out, we lean on ourselves, and in a sense, we try almost to lock Him out. I'm telling you, He comes where we are, and His words to you and to me today as the message of the gospel, peace be unto you. then said Jesus to them again. He said it over and over too. That's why it's good to hear the gospel over and over. Y'all here this morning to hear the same thing you heard last week and the same thing you heard the week before. And that's a message of salvation by the grace of God and God's grace alone. And it is a simple message. And it should be presented simply for the comfort and edification of the Lord's people. That what Jesus did, he didn't come to try to do, but he did it. And he finished that work. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And one day he's going to come. And I don't believe it's long. Do you? I believe it's right at hand. The Lord's going to return. And we're going to hear his voice. And we're going to be gathered together to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, peace be unto you. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Here Jesus comes to them to tell them that there is something for you to do. Listen, dear ones, there's something that we ought to be about. That is to share this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ministers share this as they stand upon the high mountains and declare the glad tidings of how great things the Lord has done. You share it as you take that gospel and wear it in your life and go out and shine forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That we walk in this world as believers, as those who trust and lean upon him, so that when the storms of life come, we're not shaken by every storm and every trouble and every situation, but we're standing on Christ, the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And all, dear ones, we have solid ground to stand on, even in the midst of the storms. He says, and when he said, peace be unto you, and as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now here's not where they were regenerated. They had been regenerated and received the Holy Ghost and regeneration many years before this. Here they had already walked with him. They were born of the Spirit. But here he had given them not only the calling, but he gave them the ability. Now I'm telling you, Brother Stan couldn't have preached like he preached this morning if the Lord hadn't given him the ability. Brother John, Barnabas could not offer that sweet prayer from his heart this morning if the Lord had not given him the ability. All of the preaching that I've heard down through my life, and I've heard over the last 40 years some good preaching. I've had some sweet times of fellowship and some sweet meetings, and I called into memory this morning as Brother Stan was preaching about those times where I've shed tears with God's children, and I've smiled and I've cried and sometimes done both of them at the same time as I sat among the Lord's people. I wouldn't have any of those things if it had not been for the Spirit of Almighty God allowing us to have that. I'm telling you, this meeting this morning would have been empty and in vain, and I don't believe it has been, if the Lord had not showered his presence among us, and even today, given us just what we needed for this hour and for this moment. And I'm telling you, there's some unbelief mixed in with all that we've heard. Even, I'm sure, as you've been here, you've battled some of the same battles that I've battled. The old technology came in and tried to rob us for a little bit. Tried to interrupt their singing. And yet we just continued on. And Brother Stan couldn't see the screen, but he just kept right on preaching anyway. And leaning upon the Lord. Because I'm telling you, the same Spirit that could bless him when he couldn't see the screen could bless him when he could see the screen. And the same Lord is there to supply just what we need. And he's with us right in our home. And whatever I'm facing today, can you see it? Whatever it is, whatever may come, we have one that's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we can find the strength that we need in the midst of this storm that you and I are in right now. He says, whoever soever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Anyone who would read this and think that the Lord here gave his disciples the power to forgive sins does not understand the totality of the Scripture. Do not understand what's taught throughout the Bible. Listen, this is not telling that men have the power to forgive sins. What this is telling is that as men go preaching the gospel and declaring the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of his children in particular. And there's no preaching that's going to add to that or take from that. But that's the truth. I want you to know that every sin that Jesus paid for has been remitted. Every sin that Jesus died for on the cross has been sent away as far as the east is from the west. And that is true whether you believe the message or I believe the message, whether I'm faithful or whether I'm not. Everyone that Jesus, as we preach the gospel is this, that those that are in Christ for whom he died, they have no reason to fear because he has paid their sin debt and it's removed from them as far as the east is from the west, and nothing they do can cause that to happen, and nothing they do can cause it not to happen. It is done. It's a finished work. And for those whom he did not die, and there are those for whom he did not die, they are yet in their sins, and there will be a judgment day that comes where they'll answer for that, and that is the truth, whether anybody preaches it or not. But as we preach it, listen, we tell God's children about that which he has done so that you and I might have some peace. Listen, I need peace right now, don't you? I need to know that he's saying to me, peace be unto you, that his word came to me. He says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That is, as we preach the gospel, those for whom Jesus died, their sins are forgiven, and for those who are not covered in that, they're still standing in their sins, and there'll be a judgment for that. And there's not going to be one thing changed about that one way or the other. He says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Oh, this was not a meeting to miss. we're told to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We're told in the scripture. And Thomas had missed this meeting. I'm telling you, this was a meeting that Brother Thomas surely should not have missed. Somebody says it doesn't matter whether you go to church tonight or today or not. And you ask Thomas about that. Does it matter? No, Thomas, does it matter when the saints meet whether you're there or not? What would his testimony be? I believe Brother Thomas. You and I gather together with a portion of God's old children. Any good when we feel the Lord manifest? When the preacher shows, you know, the old preachers used to say, we'll have preaching if the preacher comes. And they weren't talking about the man that was standing in the pulpit. They were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting his presence to bless the man that stood in the pulpit. And I'm telling you, when you're at a meeting of old Baptists, we are coming praying, Lord, be one in our midst. And bless the preaching. Bless the gospel message. May it feed us, O Lord. May we see Jesus today. May we feel his presence. Thomas was there, was not there. I don't know where he was at. Maybe he was trying to straighten up something. Maybe he was afraid. And you say, well, but they were all afraid, but they were together. Listen, we might meet sometimes the way we're not supposed to, but oh, it's good when God's little children can gather together. Isn't it good to gather together with the Lord's people? Even, you know, sometimes you say, well, I just don't feel up to it. Listen, that's when you really need to go as much as you can. I know physically we sometimes cannot. Just don't have the ability to do it. But oh, brethren, it's important for us to gather together. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, they shared with him what Jesus had said, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except, listen to Thomas. He said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Who said that? A little child of God said that. One whom Jesus loved said that. One for whom Jesus had died said that. He had gotten into a bad state. And brethren, we can get into that state when we think such as that. It didn't cause him not to be a child of God. But he sure was a child of God in trouble, don't you believe? Oh, when a little child of God gets to doubting and gets to be in fear, he's in trouble. And he stayed there for 8 days. What a sad place to be. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and they gathered together. And here's the good news, though. Thomas was with them this time. Oh, Thomas, even though he was in unbelief, even though he was no doubt hearing their words but didn't believe what they said, he didn't completely leave them, didn't completely go another way. No, Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, the doors being shut. You know who Jesus knew was there? He knew everybody was there. He knows who's here this morning. He knows just what we need. He knows he's the one who supplies everything that we need. He came right there, the doors being shut, and came right in the midst, and he said unto them the same thing that he said to them the week before. He said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, he looks right at Thomas. How did Jesus know this? Jesus knows all things. Isn't that good to know he knows all things? He looked right at Thomas. He didn't say, "What are you thinking, Thomas?" He didn't say, "Where have you been, Thomas?" He didn't say, "What's your discussions been this week, Thomas?" And he doesn't need to say that to you and I. The one with whom we have to do knows more about us than we do. He knows all about us, and he knows our needs, and he supplies them. And here he comes, and he stands right. He comes right in that place. They've locked the doors again, no doubt, in need of being hearing these same words. He says, "Peace be unto you." And he tells Thomas, he says, "Thomas, if you need to," he says, "reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless." In other words, I've given you faith. Thomas, use it. Exercise that grace of faith. Brethren, I say to you, little child of God, trust in the Lord. Use that God-given faith. If God hasn't given you faith, you can't. You have no ability or desire. But if you've been blessed with the gift of faith, use that faith. Exercise it, trusting, leaning upon the Lord. Thomas answered and said unto him, listen to the one who said, "I will not believe." The Lord can change that confession, can't he? Aren't you glad God can change that confession? I've seen it happen in a meeting where a little child of God, I hope it's happened with some this morning, comes in so downhearted, so brokenhearted, they wonder, "I don't even know why I'm going today. I don't even know why I'm tuning in today. I feel so low." And then by the end of the meeting, we say, "Oh, I'm so thankful. I was glad I came. I was so thankful I got to hear it one more time. I was so thankful I was in one more meeting, one more time, to hear this good news. If it's my last time, if the Lord comes today and I get to hear it, thank the Lord I was one more time with God's little children where I could hear this wonderful sound of peace be unto you from a Savior who has nailed his hands and nailed his feet, who loved me that much to die for me. And that he's sent his ministers out and given them the Spirit to be able to preach and teach others." He says, "You, Thomas, reach hither." Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, and my God." He didn't say, "Thou art the Lord and thou art the God." No, he said, "You're my Lord." Oh, brethren, isn't it good to say, our Father who art in heaven, as we pray to him, we look to the Lord, we can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my God. He's the sovereign God. He's God made manifest in the flesh. He is the Savior. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Oh, it would have been a blessing to be there with Thomas and to see all this, wouldn't it? To read about it is a great blessing. You know, our little meeting this morning is even a blessing, as he says here. We haven't seen him with a natural eye like Thomas did. We are not able to put our hands into the print in his hands, our finger in the print in his hands, But by faith, I believe we can see it, don't you? Believe we're trusted in Him coming. I believe we're leaning upon Him. And He says, and that's because we blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And He goes ahead and says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. All of the things that He did, I don't know how many appearances He had, but I know that at one time He appeared to over 500 brethren at once. We're told about that over in 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul was told about that. And how many times He appeared and all that occurred that proved they were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We have a resurrected Savior we serve. He lives. He lives. Our Savior lives. There's an empty tomb to prove it. He said, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. That isn't how you get eternal life. It's how you enjoy the life the Lord has given you, that you embrace the life that the Lord has given you, that you lay hold on to the life that the Lord has given you. He's given us life by His grace. But as we're believing, we get to see it and enjoy it and have sweet fellowship with Him right here while we're living here in this world. I just thank the Lord for this another time we've been able to enjoy that by the grace and the mercy of God. I appreciate your kind attention this morning, you being here, and just thank the Lord for each of you. And we'll go ahead and sing a hymn, publish the open door of the church, and there'll be one or more here that have a desire to unite with this church or any sister churches represented. We give you the opportunity to let your feelings be made known as we sing together a hymn. And that hymn is going to be My Savior's Love. And I've about lost my voice. So I don't know who's going to sing along. I guess my wife will sing along if you'll get to hear her. If we can't leave this alone. But if you sing along, it won't matter whether I'm singing or not. You just keep right on singing. My Savior's Love is number 539 in the number 12s and number 501 in the number 11s. My Savior's Love.